Welcome to the Trade Secrets Podcast, hosted by Damon Piatek, President and CEO of Welke Customs Brokers USA. Damon is a licensed U.S. customs broker and certified customs specialist with more than 18 years' experience in the import-export customs, transportation, and logistics sectors. Each month, Trade Secrets will bring you guests in the industry to provide their insights on timely trade issues to give you an advantage in international trade. So now, let's talk trade.
Thank you for joining us for Trade Secrets. This is Damon Piatek, and today we have our guest, Craig Turner, who is the Executive Director of World Trade Center Buffalo, Niagara, the Executive Director of International Trade Gateway Buffalo, Niagara, and he also is the President and CEO of Momentum Public Affairs. Craig, thank you for joining us today about our talk about NAFTA and what's exactly happening.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Great. So we have some interesting news with NAFTA. We know that Mexico and U.S. have finished some negotiations, although the news is kind of making that into a not a great thing, but there's negotiation points that they're looking at for NAFTA. Some of the top points that they're looking at is the rules of origin for autos, negotiation of trade disputes under NAFTA, some others. But what do you see is from your perspective in those roles? How do you see that affecting who's out there and the clients who are importing?
We're spending a lot of time talking to companies, and the answers that they're giving are very interesting. They range. They're all over the place. Yes, there are companies that are specifically affected and are having to make changes. And anytime we hear those, we try and get them through to the Department of Commerce, the Congressional Office, and let's sit down and talk about your individual case. There are companies that are saying, let's keep this going because we're doing very well. The changes are giving us lots of opportunity. Those are the extremes, I think. A lot of the companies we talk to are in the position of we haven't specifically been affected yet, but we're paying very close attention to it because we know when the hammer comes down, we may need to make some changes. So it's kind of been all over the place. And that I would echo that for the emotion behind it, too. You know, when you read about these things in the media, there's tremendous emotion behind it, and people are so angry about it. Well, for right now, there are a few that are unhappy with the way things are going right now. There are a few that are saying it's about time this is happening, which is very interesting take in itself. And again, the majority are, it hasn't affected me yet, but I'm watching very closely. Yeah.
So NAFTA is 25 years old. It's a trilateral agreement, the first of its kind. There's stuff that needs to be updated, obviously. Rules of origin for autos, the reason that the U.S. is looking to change that is to bring more content of the automobiles onshore here in the U.S., Canada, where these countries are going to make more money off of that. I don't see that as a bad thing. Government procurement, opening that up across the borders, that's another segment that they're looking to negotiate with NAFTA. Mexico's on board with these, but they're saying, oh, well, they're shutting Canada out. What are you hearing about that? I mean, I know what's going to happen, but
well, you know, it's also very interesting because I think it was last week or the week before this deal with Mexico was was announced. And one of the things that happened, and you know, he does things for a reason. The president said, I'm doing away with NAFTA. If you go back and read his tweet, what he said, he's doing away with the name NAFTA because it has bad connotation. Everyone took that and ran with it and said, hey, doing away with the entire agreement. Well, that's not the case. That's not what he said. All along, the plan was, not all along, but for the last several months, the plan was we're going to get Mexico locked up because that's where there seems to be more sticking issues. And then at that point, bring Canada into the conversation and work towards that trilateral agreement. Will it end up a trilateral agreement? It may not. That's negotiation. Yeah. But when you know they announced the Mexico deal, that people went crazy. Like, Canada's left out of the thing, and that's, you know, it was going right on a path with what everything was supposed to be. And in fact, I did an interview that day with one of our local media, and I said, look, the president of Mexico said in his speech that that he had called, reached out to the prime minister. President Trump said he's going to do so this afternoon. That doesn't sound like we're leaving Canada out. It sounds like we're just following the game plan that had been laid out. And even the Canadians, the foreign minister, said this is what we expected to happen. Now we're looking forward to continuing our role in the conversation.
Yeah, and I think you're definitely right on there. The disparity of what was happening between the U.S. and Mexico was much larger than the disparity between Canada and the U.S. Obviously, the economy in Canada is much larger than the economy in Mexico, and the workforce and labor rates, I mean, the disparity is U.S. and Mexico, not U.S. and Canada. But some of the sticking points, I think, with the U.S. and Canada revolve around agriculture. So we have dairy restrictions sending dairy up to Canada. We can't send milk up there if we wanted to. There's government subsidies to domestic milk producers in Canada where, you know, the contents of milk are subsidized by the government for Canadian companies that make milk. They charge us more for that if we want to get that product down here into the United States. It also extends to chicken and turkey. It's very hard to send those agricultural products up to Canada. How are you hearing anything from agricultural companies down here in the United States on that part of it?
Well, wine is another one. And wine was a big piece of the first NAFTA.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting because both sides of the border, if you talk to the wineries, feel that they've were screwed 25 years ago. Both sides do.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what the negotiation is about, is getting everybody together and hopefully in the end both sides come, you know, all the parties come out with better off than they were before. Mm-hmm. You know, on the agricultural side, on the U.S. side, a lot of it is, it's about time. We haven't been getting a fair shake. The Canadians, I know they necessarily haven't been getting a fair shake, and we could sit here all day and debate who's got the better deal and who's not.
Yeah.
I think you're in agreement that opening the door on NAFTA to fix these things and get a better agreement is a good thing right now. It's playing out the way it's supposed to. And yes, we don't necessarily like the president's, you know, real estate development negotiating tactics all the time and tweets and how these things are playing out. But, you know, you had to feel good when after months and months and months, all of a sudden there's an article in the paper that the U.S. and Mexico have reached an agreement. You're like,
happening.
Yeah, they
were
throwing
somewhere.
They were throwing timelines at us, but no, I don't know that any of us believed we were going to meet those timelines, but it did. And it's like, oh, this negotiation does work. So let's get Canada involved. Let's finalize this thing, and we can move on to whatever the next topic is.
Well, and when Trump took office, we had, you know, during the election, he said he was going to renegotiate NAFTA, get rid of NAFTA, and at that time, Welke put on a number of seminars about what's happening with NAFTA. And we said, well, let's just take the wait-and-see approach. NAFTA's not going to go away. Our economies here in the United States, Mexico, and Canada are so intertwined, nobody's going to destroy that agreement or wipe it clean or start over. It just, we're so interdependent that it's going to continue on. And that's what we were saying back then. Take a wait-and-see approach. Look at your products, what the tariff classifications are, what the duty rates are, and kind of assess, you know, hope for the best, prepare for the worst type mentality. But again, back then everybody was saying, oh no, NAFTA's over. Now we're here, what, a year and a half later, and NAFTA's still here. We haven't ripped up that deal, and now we're working towards a better agreement. Some of the other points that they're working on is intellectual property rights for companies. You know, there's insufficient protection for U.S. companies that have copyrights and patents. You know, Canada doesn't necessarily recognize those at par down here, and you know, from what we have in the United States. And, you know, that's another thing. So nothing really here is horrible for the United States. Nothing really here is horrible for Canada. If we open up that agricultural door a little bit more, Canadians will pay less for products, agricultural products. They're going to pay less for dairy. They're going to pay less for butter. They're going to pay less for milk. And we're going to be able to add another stream in there. And it's going to open up that door even more than it already has been. So, but we have a lot of change going on in international trade. So it's not just NAFTA that's happening now. It's additional tariffs, the 232, the 301. There's other anti-dumping cases that are coming out. So can you give us some insight into what your members are saying about those issues in trade?
And what's crazy is it's the same kind of reaction as it is for the NAFTA stuff. Now, NAFTA is up here. It's very ethereal. It's, you know, there's a lot happening that doesn't affect everybody. And the tariff started out with steel and aluminum, and now they've gone into blue jeans and honey and chocolate and Harley Davidsons. So, you know, no one is really immune. Either you're, right. You know, your company, your own company, somewhere in your supply chain, something's happening in some areas slower than others. So it's the same thing with the tariffs. As I've heard, most of the companies are saying, hasn't affected us yet, but we know that if, and how the negotiation has gone back and forth, you watch it play out in the media. The U.S. announces some tariffs, China, EU, they announce some tariffs back. It waits a couple of weeks, and then, okay, we're slapping another $15 billion, and, well, so are we, and it's one. And you know, I talked to an economist recently, and they said, you know, it's not this first and second round of back and forth that's going to really cause the issues. It's the third and fourth and fifth round when ultimately somebody's going to have to back off.
Yeah.
But you know, and we look at it from two different perspectives. One's the economy perspective on it, which is what it's going to do to the global economy and the U.S. economy, and even our regional economy here in Western New York and Southern Ontario. But then you look individually at the companies, and yes, there's companies that have been affected and have already had to make changes. Whether those changes were real, or that somewhere in their supply chain someone was taking advantage of the bad news to raise prices and it's sure. passing along. So that's happening. So they're being affected. And I've heard everything from, one was if these, especially the Canadian steel tariffs, stay in place, we're going to really have to think about shutting down a plant that we have in Canada. Well, no, that's not what anybody's trying to do, but that's the reality right. of the yeah. situation. Then I've heard a company that imported steel and aluminum from Canada has, you know, as soon as the news started, they switched their supply chain to getting it from the U.S. That's what.
Well, that was the plan.
That's the point. That's
yeah,
what. That's
exactly.
what. That's what President Trump is trying to accomplish. So you're not going to read about that story in the mainstream media,
right? Because it doesn't create that.
Right. It's
that,
not. It's not the narrative.
Yeah. 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 So it doesn't create the uncertainty that they're looking for, and I think that's where we're at right now. There's uncertainty for what's going
yes.
on, but if you really dig down deep into what's going on and you do some research and you look at what's being done and what's being negotiated, it's not as much of a despair as everybody thinks it is. It's,
right.
It's, yeah. It's a little bit less, the sky is falling, and a little bit more, something's going to happen at the end that's going to benefit everybody.
Right. So. The difficult part in the uncertainty is being able to make investments for the future, which is why, you know, moving something from a foreign shipper to U.S. shipper, that was the goal of the process. So
right.
you're kind of safe in doing that, but some of the other things, expanding, hiring, new markets, it is difficult right now to make decisions for the long term. So and I mean, being a businessman, you know, the president understands that, even though sometimes it doesn't seem like he does with the things that are going on, but he does understand it. And yeah. you know, ultimately there's going to be decisions made, and you'll know what the path is forward from there.
Yeah. So any other insight into the effect on Western New York specifically? Have we seen, or have you seen anything that really kind of resonates throughout the region that's going to be a large impact, positive or negative, because of what's going on with the negotiations and the uncertainty?
Not really, other than conversation. I'll say that. Sorry, should I do that line again? Because I squealed on the chair. Not really, other than conversation. Again, we live in a very interconnected binational community here. Mm-hmm. You cross the border to go to Canada, and the Canadians cross the border to come to the U.S. every day like it's the next county. It's not an issue. You know, as we talk about these things, and people get, you know, get their information from the news, and they're making assumptions on you know, what they're hearing and what the future might say, it becomes a topic of conversation. So everything from tourism to cross-border trade to cross-border, business services, they're all affected in that there's a relationship. When you talk to Canadians about President Trump, they're not a fan.
Yeah.
But are they holding back business from the U.S.? Are they not coming to our malls? Are they not? No, it's not affecting that. Not as much as the dollar would or something like that.
True. Yeah. And the dollar, obviously, you bring up a good point. The dollar fluctuating is gonna change that flow of tourism and shopping. Either it's going to be coming down from Canada to the U.S. or the U.S. citizens are going to go on up to Canada to buy stuff. But that's a double-edged sword because that has the opposite effect on trade, where if we have a really weak Canadian dollar, well, then we're importing more from Canada because right. It's cheaper for us, our manufacturers, to buy that. But Canadians aren't coming down and shopping because they can't buy as much themselves. So that's a double-edged sword there. But also on what you talked about there is crossing the border. We have to understand, too, that NAFTA isn't just about moving cargo across the border. It's about moving people across the border, too. So with the agreement being as old as it is, there's professions that weren't around 25 years ago.
Right.
And there's professions that were around 25 years ago that don't exist today.
Right.
And, you know, those are other updates that need to be made to the agreement. E-commerce. 25 years ago, I don't think we were doing as much e-commerce as we were doing today. I'm just throwing that out there. Right. Probably somebody bought the first CD online, right? That also needs to be negotiated into the deal. That's something that they're going to be negotiating. So it's a little bit more robust than just, oh, what's the tariff for this, or how are we going to get this across the border? It digs a little bit deeper. And it's really about moving those service providers across the border, too. So if you sell a machine into Canada right now, you have a hard time getting your technicians across the border to service that machine, where you may not, you know, they may not have the expertise in Canada to fix it because they're not the manufacturer. But now you have to hire people in Canada to service your machine that you sold up there. Vice versa, the Canadians are sending stuff down here where they can't get technicians across the border. I think, I read a while back that one of the professions that was added to NAFTA in its lifespan up until now was beekeepers. So we're up on adding professions to that agreement. But so if we go even a little bit deeper into what's happening here right in Western New York and the border, have you seen any flow differences with all the uncertainty? Are we seeing cargo slow down? Are we seeing people slow down? Or has it been steady?
It's been steady, and the dollar is going to make that decision. And when the Canadian dollar is worth more, then we don't see the Ontario license plates in the in the parking lots at the malls in the Niagara Falls Airport. But when the dollar's strong the way it is right now, they're here. I'll tell you an interesting story. There's going to be a bit of a teaser. So we have World Trade Center. We have our big event on September 20th. It's World Trade Celebration. And we're gearing up for that right now. But as it's World Trade Celebration, the purpose of the event is to celebrate our region's, reach in the global marketplace. But we kind of said early on that we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about what's actually going on right now. So before our keynote speaker speaks, who's Pat Whalen from the Niagara Global Tourism Institute, we're going to do a panel session, and it's going to be about the tumultuous trade environment. And we're not bringing people together to rehash what's going on and complain about it. You're a company. What are you doing right now that other companies in the audience can learn from? One of the speakers we have for that panel is a gentleman from a company called Norgan Biotech in Southern Ontario, and I got him on the phone to kind of prep him for the panel discussion. And he says, "Look," I said, "so how are NAFTA? How are the tariffs? How are they affecting you?" He goes, "NAFTA is not affecting me, and the tariffs are not affecting me." And I said, okay, so what's your story going to be on the panel? And he says, my story on the panel is very simple. It's if you are a Canadian company, and because you're letting the headlines in the newspaper affect you and you're not looking at the U.S. market, you're leaving opportunity on the table and your business is going to fail. And I said, Well, that's a pretty good message. Because we believe it. We believe, you know, the U.S. has the market. Canada has great businesses that are growing right across the border. And Toronto, it's a booming economy there. And there's opportunity on the U.S. side. And the more connections we can make, and we've tried to, you know, force these things to happen, but they don't, you know, by themselves. You need to get people in, or get the right people in the room and get them connected and talking and understand the environment, and also understand, to your point, that the border isn't a wall. It's not, I mean, it's you can, maybe I use that term.
We want the wall on the southern border.
We got the wall there, but the border is not an obstacle,
right,
in our region. It does flow. Yes, there are immigration things. Yes, there are times that traffic, that there's going to be backups. But largely 360 days out of the year, it's pretty free flowing, and really, if you know, there is great opportunity on both sides of our border here for companies to grow. You know, with World Trade Center, our job is to help companies grow internationally. And when you get an opportunity in another country, there's a lot that goes along with it. It's not just I sell my product to you. There's rules and regulations you have to follow. There's culture that you have to follow. There's all kinds of different pieces you have to put into building relationships. Here in this region, in Canada, that's right across the border. They speak the same language. They may say a few words differently, or they put a U in the word color and honor, but it's the same culture.
Yeah.
It really is. It's very easy to do business across our border.
Great. So we're going to take a little bit of break here, and we'll come back and we'll open up the discussion again about that, about how easy it is to do business across the border. But we're going to go over to Charlie Goodwin. Charlie runs the Charlie Goodwin Roundtable in Rochester, New York, once a month, and we're also going to bring him here to Buffalo on the 26th of September, and we're going to have Charlie give an update with every podcast about news that's happening around the world that you're really not going to hear in the mainstream media, but really has a large impact on trade and international trade. So take it away, Charlie.
This is Charles Goodwin speaking. I am the president of Goodwin International Consulting and the International Business Roundtable. I'm giving you a list of some of the key events which have happened in the last month, which could impact your ability to do international business if you're working out of the Western New York region. Among these items are the following. The U.S. has agreed to an updated trade agreement with Mexico, while the negotiations on a trade agreement with Canada continue. We expect that there will be more positive good news on the Canada trade agreement before the next 2 weeks are up. The Argentine economy is in real trouble, the peso having lost 50% of its value against the U.S. dollar during the past year, actually since the first of the year. Numerous protests are taking place in the Middle East, with immigrants having taken over a lot of the country, and you're talking about Germany, where a city in western or in eastern Germany, there have been many, many riots because people are protesting against the government policy of allowing immigrants to come in, and also because of the high crime rate in many of the major cities. An earthquake has taken place in Maracaibo, Japan, creating several landslides, significant flooding, and loss to hundreds of homes. This is in the northern part of Japan. At least 20 people have been killed by a terrorist bomber in Pakistan. These things seem to happen every few weeks, and Pakistan's a good country to stay out of at this time. There are not a lot of positive feelings toward Americans. The U.S. government is now threatening to impose an additional $200 billion in tariff on Chinese imports if China does not agree to respect international intellectual property rights, and U.S. companies should have more of their products purchased by the Chinese. If these things don't happen, this $200 billion increase in tariffs will be added to the $50 billion that's already in place. That will certainly choke off trade from China and the U.S., and frankly, I think Trump's in a good position because they need our trade more than we need theirs. Australia recently elected a new prime minister, Scott Morrison. Monsoon flooding in India has killed over 300 people. At least 39 people have died on a bridge collapse in Genoa, Italy. The U.S. has initiated sanctions against Turkey because it continues to hold a U.S. minister on spy charges. As a result, the Turkish lira has also dropped significantly in value, and the Turkish economy is in shambles. The government in Turkey is blaming a lot of their economic woes on the fact that there are U.S. sanctions in place, and that's obviously just a small fraction of the problems. The United Kingdom has accused two Russian agents of poisoning an ex-Soviet spy and his daughter in the UK, and they want sanctions from other European countries. The U.S. has initiated a stronger sanctions against Iran for continued support of terrorism in both Syria and Lebanon. These sanctions, again, have crippled the economy of Iran, even though they have oil reserves there, having a hard time selling them. And finally, the European Union has agreed to negotiate with the U.S. in order to preserve export markets for EU members. This move will further isolate China, and again, I think it plays well to the U.S. trade policy. The last item that I wanted to mention is the International Business Roundtable is a group of about 30 companies. We meet once a month, and we supply you with the most up-to-date, accurate information on current international business conditions. We have a program coming up here in Rochester on September 19th, and we have one in Buffalo, I believe, at Welke Customs Brokers on Wednesday the 26th at 12 noon. So if you're interested, you might want to contact Welke and sit in on one of those meetings and see what we're all about. And again, that's about it from here, and hope to talk to you guys soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlie. We're looking forward to hearing more with every podcast with Charlie and what's going on around the world. Hopefully you found that informative. And we're back here with Craig Turner, the Executive Director of the World Trade Center, and a couple other titles there. So tell me a little bit about the World Trade Center celebration. How do people get tickets? Where do they go for that? And then we'll move into a little bit more about how easy it is to do business across the border here.
Sure. So yeah, our big event for the year, September 20th, we're very thrilled to have Pat Whalen, who's with the Niagara Global Tourism Institute, as our keynote speaker. Pat actually has had a couple of roles, and this is World Trade Center's, Buffalo Niagara's 30th anniversary of serving our binational region. Our territory goes all the way from Hamilton to Syracuse. Pat has been with us from the beginning. He's entrenched in trade. He's a go-to resource. Started his company 30-some years ago, and ended up selling it to DHL, right? Or to he sold it to UPS.
It to UPS. Great success story.
Yeah, it's an unbelievable success story. And what's really interesting is where we're holding the event is a brand new events facility that they just opened, I think, in June. I think one of the proms was their first event.
Great.
A beautiful facility. But it was the building where his company was located, which is fantastic. It's such a great story.
What a great, yeah, and then he can give some insight into what happened there originally, so that's amazing.
And he gave me the title of his presentation is Tariffs, Trade Agreements, and Tourism in the Trump Era.
Nice.
So we're excited about that. This, we usually get around 300 people. It's the big international trade event of the year, the networking, and it really is a celebration. So we're excited about it, and it's your question. You can get register for it at our website, which is wtcbn.com/events is the easiest way to get to it.
Great. And I will be there, and excellent. You will be there. If you want to say hi to us while we're there, please come up and say hi. We can give you some more insight into what's going on with trade. But also, so we'll talk a little bit about how easy it is to do trade across the border here. There's a unique opportunity with Canada so close to us for every U.S. company, not just the ones that are along the border. If they're going to branch out into international trade, Canada's the place to start, really. You nailed it on the head. Culture's the same. They're English speaking. You have Quebec that has bilingual with the French, but you have the opportunity to sell into Southern Ontario, where I think like 70%+ of the population is. Right. That's really where everything's happening. From Buffalo, we're talking about an hour drive, and very ingenuitive people. They're making great products, and there's a lot of business opportunity. How easy is it for companies to jump into that?
It's actually very easy, and it's a booming economy. I mean, Toronto is Toronto. Toronto's the big fish, but the growth in Toronto has stretched south towards Buffalo into the southern peninsula of Ontario, and the relationships to be had, the business community's booming. What's interesting in our region, which is truly a binational region, there aren't a lot like it around the world. There's a few. You know, San Diego, Macaladoria, they do a good job at it. But there's mechanisms here. There's expertise and mechanisms here to trade across the border. So, you know, when we set up like a Can-Am roundtable or Can-Am council, in you know, at the chamber has one, and we have one at World Trade Center. You know, every law firm, every accounting firm, every bank has experts in doing business in Canada, and vice versa on the Canadian side. Every law firm, every accounting firm, every bank has experts on doing business in the U.S. The logistics firms, the businesses are set up to support that cross-border trade. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about the border earlier. One of the things about the border is, you know, prior to 9/11, well, prior to the policies that came after 9/11, the border was free-flowing. Mm-hmm. It was easy. I mean, it was, you would say hi to the border guard, and we used to go for lunch, and we'd have time within our hour lunch break to be able to be back.
And we, most of the time, didn't even have to show our ID.
Right,
was, hey, how you doing? What are you doing? You're going to lunch. We'll be back in an hour.
So it's not quite that free-flowing anymore, and for many years, it did scare people off of business, but they've got systems in place, and the technology that's going into getting people across the border now is unbelievable. In fact, my other organization, ITGO, on October 30th, we've got U.S. Customs and Border Protection and the Canadian Border Services Agency doing a presentation on technology at the border, which will be fantastic. I can't wait for that. But the mechanisms are in place. So one of the things that became very popular is if you're selling into the market on either side, is to get a warehouse or get warehouse space on the other side. Move your product into the country at your convenience, and then deliver the last mile from wherever you've got it warehoused. It became very popular. There's many mm-hmm. Canadian companies that warehouse on the U.S. side and vice versa. And those are, you know, the further away you get from the border, that business model doesn't exist.
Disappears. Yeah.
And it's kind of a neat thing. It's been definitely a niche business for companies in our region, and it works. And it's definitely a benefit to the shippers on the other side of the border to be able to do that. You know, especially with just-in-time manufacturing right now. Yes. Okay. So it may only technically be a half-hour ride from St. Catharines to Buffalo, but if the border's thick, you're not just in time anymore. You know, if you get it on a busy day or a Sabres game or something going on, you're not a half hour away anymore. So your just-in-time schedule is messed up. But you've got your stuff across the border, and it's there ready for you need it. There's all kinds of opportunity. And again, you've got Toronto on one side, which is the biggest market in Canada, and you get to the U.S. And what's the statistic we use? We're within 55% of the U.S. population here in Buffalo.
Yeah.
The world is your oyster at that point.
Yeah. So I just want to say thank you very much today for coming in and clearing up a lot of these issues that the media is putting out there about what's going on with NAFTA. Great insight that you've had from your clients, your members. Takeaway for the listeners. What's one thing that you want them to take away today from the podcast?
I'd say pay attention, stay close to it, find your media outlet that's going to give you the actual story. It's very good, you know, I learned about the Mexico-U.S. deal via CNN or wherever I was following. So I got the story. Then I went and researched it further, and I got dug into it and saw, you know, what was being said and what was really happening and how to read it. You know, this podcast is going to be one of those resources. So, you know, as trade agreements are taking place, as trends are happening, you know, find your resource that you can trust. And, you know, as you're starting to make decisions, really get up to speed on the real story. You know, at World Trade Center, that's one of the things we do is we get this information out and we hold seminars and events and roundtables so that people can have this inside look at what's really going on.
Fantastic. And one last time, World Trade Center celebration is?
September 20th, events at the Wurlitzer in North Tonawanda.
Great. Craig, thank you very much for your time today. We appreciate it, and we will be back next time with more insight into what's going on with trade. Damon Piatek here. Thank you very much for listening.
This has been Trade Secrets, the podcast hosted by Damon Piatek, President and CEO of Welke Customs Brokers USA. Thank you for listening.